Living more naturally in the supernatural, that's what we're going to look at tonight. We were looking at compassionate generosity, but I just feel that God's been stirring me in this area again this week. We had a meeting on Friday nights with the guys who have been involved in healing on the streets for about 2 years now, and I kind of put something together for that evening. And I think God's been stirring me during the course of this week, and it's in line really with what Sean spoke on last week about being a faith-filled, risk-taking people. And it's one of the characteristics that we see in Acts chapter 2. Verse 43 says, "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." And as you read through the book of Acts, and as you look at the Gospels and the life of Jesus, if we try to kind of cut out with some scissors portions that refer to the miraculous, we wouldn't have much of the Gospels left, really. It would be shredded. And the same would be true in the book of Acts, because God works supernaturally by the miraculous all through the ministry of Jesus and all through the story of the expansion of the gospel in terms of the early church. And God wants us to live in that dimension in a natural way. Yeah, all of us, actually. It says, "These signs shall follow those who believe." Any believers here tonight? Yeah. So if you're a believer in Jesus and you receive the Holy Spirit, and then he wants to use you to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, to cleanse the lepers, to minister to all kinds of people, because that's part of the total gospel declaration. We're here to declare who Jesus is, why he came, that he's come to save us from our sins, to save us from a lost eternity, and to give us new life in himself. But that is not only spoken, it is also demonstrated. Jesus himself proclaimed and performed. He taught and touched people, yeah? He did, and he declared. It's actually interesting, if you have a look at the first verse, of the very first verse of the book of Acts, it says, "This former account I made, O Theophilus," and Luke's writing here, he's referring to the gospel that he wrote about Jesus, "of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." Yeah, to do and teach. And the rest, and that was just the beginning, the early church, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the story of the early church. And the church right up until this point, the plan of God has always been that we would be a people that are doing and teaching. Yeah? You know? In fact, if I only preached what I did, I think my preaches might be quite short. that's a confession tonight, yeah? And it's a good thing for a preacher to see that reality. We need to be not simply practicing what we preach. We need to be preaching what we're practicing. Because we need to be preaching with integrity. And so we need to be in a whole lot more doing mode. And this actually is not the book of, you know, teachings, this early church. The book of Acts. Yeah? And so we want to see a whole lot of acts of God through his people into the marketplace. And so that's what we're on about tonight. And so we're going to go to Acts chapter 3. I'm not going to read the whole text, just pick out verses, for the sake of time. And you've got the notes in front of you, and we want to look quickly at four or five C's in good preacher fashion out of Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. But I want it to be very practical tonight in terms of how do we expect more of the miraculous in our lives? And how do we make space for it? And how can we take little steps, you know, first steps in just seeing more of this stuff happening? What is a miracle? I've put down a bit of a definition there on your notes there. Miracle is a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature, a temporary suspension of the accustomed order, an interruption of the system of nature as we know it, God breaking into the natural order of things to accomplish his purpose. And some people don't believe in miracles. But if you believe in God, then logic tells you that actually the miraculous is very possible. So that settles that. everything pretty much from in the beginning is miraculous as far as God is concerned, as far as we are concerned. You know, he's supernatural, he's eternal, etc. So Acts chapter 3 is the wonderful story of Peter and John going down to a prayer meeting and encountering this man at the beautiful gate who'd been there for many, many years, would have been laid at this gate for pretty much on a daily basis and was almost a professional beggar, we might call him. He'd been a crippled man from birth, 40 years. He would have been there during the time of Jesus, no doubt, as well. But on this particular day, something happened whilst they were going into their 3 o'clock prayer meeting. There was a prompting of the Holy Spirit, such that when this man asked them for money, it says he asked them for alms, A-L-M-S. You know, somebody said he asked them for alms and they gave him legs. Okay, that was nothing. They asked him for money. Something happened in that moment. They must have heard him ask for money before, because they were going to the regular spot for prayer. And they went, they prayed, it would seem, at least two, maybe three times a day. And the Holy Spirit said, stop, engage this man. This is his day. I have an appointment with him. And guess what? I want to work through you. So the first C is connection. Be open to make a connection with people. And guys, this doesn't have to be, kind of too big. You know, it could be as simple as just saying hi. What's your dog's name? You know, Graham Cook tells a story of being at an airport waiting to get an aeroplane back from the continent, I think, to the UK after being away on ministry. And he sensed, it was outside the airport, because I don't think they allow dogs in airport, do they? So it must have been outside the airport. And he was sitting and he saw a guy with a dog and he felt God say, go and sit next to him, or, you know, try and strike up a conversation. So he's thinking, oh, you know, what do I do, you know? And the conversation began, what's your dog's name? Okay, Lynn remembers it better than I do. And that began a conversation, I can't remember the detail, whereby the guy started to open up more about his life, and Graham ministered into his life. I can't remember the detail now. But the point of that little story is that it's not difficult. Strike up a conversation and see where it goes. Yeah? And I think what we're going to discover just in these very simple things tonight is that, like anything else, we grow in this thing by doing. You know, we mustn't see evangelism as this kind of big, impossible task for super human people. You know, evangelism is something that the Spirit enables us to do, and it's something that God wants us to grow in and enjoy doing whilst we enjoy doing the things that we enjoy doing. I know that was really clear, wasn't it? But we've got to look for opportunities and trust God to do it in a very natural way, and follow the promptings of the Spirit. So make the connection. That's the starting point. Be open to the Holy Spirit, alert to opportunities that come your way, and take the gap. So Peter and John are open to what the Spirit is saying, and it brings a whole dimension to the 3 o'clock prayer meeting. Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when we kind of stop, pause, engage. Just going to get Gabriel's attention there. That's a rugby. For those of you who don't know, that's a rugby term. Okay. Okay. And we just allow God just to lead us a bit and see where it takes us. Okay. So connection is the first thing. The second thing is look out and look at people with compassion. And I have to say, this has been an ongoing challenge for me in my life, and a good challenge that the Holy Spirit has been working on and is still working on in me, is to, in your everyday life, your working life, and we were commenting on this yesterday with the guys who are with us on the Vision and Values time, we want to equip every believer at 3CI to be salt and light in the workplace, because let's face it, that's where we spend a lot of our life, or in school or uni, whatever. And so, yeah, we need to be remembering this thing, that although there is a task at hand, although there is much work to do at work, and we need to do it well, let's be open to the relationships around us. Let's be open to the people around us. Yeah, let's look beyond the surface. And just see where if we see things that are different, or see something's changed in a person's demeanor, or things are not quite right. Just trust the Lord for some kind of connection. Yeah, but we've got to try and pick up on those things by looking. You know, it says Jesus looked out at the crowds with compassion. That's what moved him to ministry. He wasn't just like this sort of power man, going everywhere, just with power. No, he was filled with compassion. Yeah, the power of God was released through a medium, a heart of compassion. Yeah, and so the fruit of the Spirit is love. And so I've written there in the notes: being drawn to a person through compassion usually means, and this is where there needs to be just a switch in our thinking, renewing of our minds. As we're drawn to people in love, God's got something more for them, for you to pass on to them. And it may not be healing necessarily. It could be a word of encouragement. It could be, just something that maybe God gives you to share with them. It could be a scripture. It could just be, getting alongside them and just, building with them further. But he has something for them. And as we take the steps forward to engage them, just as we pray for people, often happens in meetings, doesn't it? When you pray for somebody in church or in a life group, you draw alongside somebody, you just start to pray with them. And you know what? As you pray, God gives you more. And as you take those steps, little steps, hello steps, how are you doing steps? It's amazing what God will give you. Francois and I were chatting this morning, and he was just saying that, how God's, challenging him to step out more, and, and he's been holding back a bit. And we were talking, he said to me the other day, because he's got this regular train journey now from Bathgate to Glasgow, and he's kind of systematically going through the scriptures, and I think he's up to Esther right now. And but he said the other day there was a lady who he's seen before on the train, a younger lady who was making sort of phone calls quite regularly from her mobile, and was quite distressed. And by the time he got off the train, she was in tears, And he said to me, "Oh, I wish I just had the courage just to sort of say something to her as I walked off, And I said, "Yeah, it's a challenge, but even if you just say, 'Look, I'm going to pray for you today,' and you just sow a seed, or you make it, just take that step. And in the process of saying, I'll pray for you, she might say, "Actually, can I just tell you what to pray for?" Or, "Yeah, that's great, and appreciate that," or whatever it may be. But take the step, and you'll be amazed where it leads. So compassion is a key thing. Third one is confidence. You know, you just see Peter and John here. They engage this man, and there's a looking on with compassion. There's a confidence that comes out of them. It's faith. And if you look at the sort of trend or the process here, it says that they looked intently on him. Fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." You know, that's how it's a very daring statement, that, "Look at us." And then he says, so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Okay, now we normally think, well, he was expecting to receive, you know, money. But was he? Was he expecting to receive more than money at that moment? And because now Peter and John are looking at him with compassion, says they looked intently at him. Then they said to him, "Look at us." I believe in that moment when they said, "Look at us," they said it with such daring confidence and conviction. Something is starting to change in this guy as he's looking at them. And so he gave them his attention, expecting to receive from them. Peter goes a step further. "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So there's confidence there. There's a conviction of who I am and what I have. It's more valuable than money. It's more effective than what money can do for you. It's something that, it's a commodity that will actually meet your need right now. And so that's a challenging thing, but we need to know that what God has given us is more than enough. Yeah. And I guess we need to grow in confidence. We need to maybe step out, perhaps, maybe not necessarily start with people who are crippled. You know, start with maybe somebody who has a headache or somebody who has another illness or whatever, you know. But as we see God working, we grow in confidence. Does that make sense? And as we start small, our faith grows. Yeah. As we step out individually and also together, we get encouraged. That well-known scripture that has come up again recently, this last week, as we've been praying for Caden in hospital in Glasgow, that Ephesians 3:20 scripture, which the Lord highlighted through Gareth a few years ago when we were praying for Gilbert, when he was at sort of death's door. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we can ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. And when we get a revelation of that, the Holy Spirit, that power is in us, then we can step out on that, you know, and start to exercise faith on that. So growing in confidence in terms of who we are and what we have to give to others. And so just to see that progression a bit further, look at verse 16. Peter says, when he's asked what has happened here, Peter says, "And in the name of Jesus, his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes from through Jesus has given this man this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So the question is, where did that faith come from? It came from Christ, but it came through Peter and John. And I believe that they released something of the gift of faith. There's a spiritual gift called the gift of faith. And in that moment, they released something of that gift of faith to that man that healed him in Jesus' name. And so, you know, in the area of healing and the supernatural, it doesn't always need to be that the person that you're praying for has faith. If we're moving in faith and trusting God and confident in Him, He can release that faith and bring healing to people. Okay. And then the outworking of this miracle in Acts chapter 3 is that Peter takes the gap to preach the gospel. So that when God moves supernaturally, it's an opportunity, pretty obviously, to share who's doing the healing. Yeah. Wonders are being done, and it's being done by a wonder worker, and his name is Jesus. So he takes the opportunity to communicate the gospel and points the people to Jesus. That's really the whole purpose of signs and wonders. A sign is pointing somewhere. Yeah, it's telling you where to go. That's why we see them called signs and wonders in the book of Acts. They point to Jesus. They're not an end in themselves. Yeah, we don't follow after signs and wonders. But as we seek to move and do the works of Jesus, we need to point people to Him as He works through us. And then the final C is in Acts chapter 4 and verses 23 to 28, where we need to contend for more of the miraculous in our midst through prayer, through testimony. And we need to celebrate every story where people step out. Yeah. You know, I went to the hairdressers the other week. I did put it out on a mail, and just had the opportunity to speak to her about the Lord. And she was going to see a friend who was kind of seriously ill overseas. And yeah, we just got an opportunity just to talk about how Christ can come into a situation like that, why He came. I shared a bit of a testimony about my sister who had their third child who'd been born with a problem in terms of lost my words now. Handicapped child, and how they'd had to walk the road with him for about 13 years. And you know, how they'd just been able to walk that road because of the Lord and because of their faith, and because the person that she was going to see had had this disability for many years. And so it was just an opportunity. And and so I went so far and just left it with her, you know. And so it's taking every opportunity, and we need to just share those stories, encourage one another, you know, in as we go forward. Building up a library of stories and establish a culture, you know, where we're actually going out, speaking to people about the Lord and stepping into the marketplace together. I think, you know, in the area of prayer, these guys come back and they don't give up. You know, they don't give in to intimidation, and they don't give up going out. They say, Lord, just turn up the heat. Because we know that You are alive in us, and You want to continue to preach the gospel and minister Your life to others. And God meets them in amazing ways, and they go out. And the amazing thing is, if I can just finish off with this, they pray, God fills them again with the Holy Spirit, they go out again, and as a result of that, in Acts chapter 5, in verse 14 and 15, it says, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. So the kingdom is continuing to advance in increasing measure, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. And it's amazing that verse 15 says that people were not even touched by Peter, but just being around in his presence, they were healed. Now, I'm open to correction here, but I can't, even with Jesus and his ministry, the miracles that are recorded in the Gospels were where he either spoke to them or touched them, or they touched the hem of his garment. Yeah, they pressed in and touched the hem of the garment. With Peter, it's saying they weren't even touched, it was in his shadow. Jesus said to his disciples, "It's better for you that I go away. Because it's actually to your advantage. And I will go away, I'll send the Holy Spirit." And John 14, verse 12, he says, "He will do greater things, you will do greater things than I've done, because I go to the Father." And so maybe that's just a quick snippet of an example there of a greater thing that God was doing right there through Peter's life, because of the work of the Holy Spirit that was happening through his life. And it was an answer to the prayer that they prayed in Acts chapter 4, where they contended again for the miraculous. They didn't give in and they didn't give up. They kept going at this thing because Jesus hasn't changed and the Holy Spirit hasn't changed. And that's true in our day right now, friends, that we mustn't give in or give up. He's the same and he wants to continue to do these things. And I'm excited about this season that we're in as a church. I'm excited with what God's doing in the city. And I feel God's challenging me personally. You know, I, as you know, I no longer work at Waitrose. And so I've got to find an outlet in the community, whether it's in my neighborhood or in some sort of tennis club I'm involved in or whatever, an outlet to actually touch people's lives and make connections and demonstrate compassion and be confident and see where it goes to in terms of sharing the gospel with people. And so let's contend for it. And so, yeah, it's an opportunity tonight to encourage one another around these coffee tables and share some testimonies maybe and some stories and look at the word, and let's encourage each other in the area of connection, compassion and confidence, and so that we go out and just have more stories to tell in the near future. And Mike Hanchett will be, I'm sure, building on this, you know, because he's got so many stories to tell to encourage the saints. So it's an exciting season we're in. Okay, bless you.